managing a sales team is a lot like selling, in the sense that you need to be able to win the trust of your people. You need to be able to show expertise and be a leader and to establish trust, respect.
You're listening to Sunny Side Up, a B2B podcast that brings you the juiciest insights from go-to-market leaders and practitioners.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Sunny Side Up. I'm your host, Tyler Gambardella. And today I'm super excited to talk to Octavian Brezoy on navigating the path to success, insights into self-service and outbound strategies. Just a quick introduction on Octavian. Octavian is a highly accomplished and results-oriented sales leader with over 14 years of experience. He drives growth and building fruitful long-term partnerships with his clients. He's got a can-do attitude and a growth mindset. He is passionate about empowering people and fostering value-driven conversations. He's currently serving as the head of digital sales for EMEA at Verifone, the international payments company. Octavian, it is wonderful to have you and wonderful for us to finally, you know, get this going after so long.
Thank you. Thank you, Tyler. It's super exciting for me to be here as well. And I look forward to this conversation.
Yeah. We've been looking forward to it for a long time. So let's start with Verifone. Can you tell us more about your role and your current focus and what the company does?
Yeah, sure. Let's start with an interesting fact that I bet not a lot of people know.
Okay.
Verifone actually processes through its servers and systems more than half of the non-cash transactions in this world.
What? More than half of the non-cash transactions in this world?
Yep. And I didn't notice that until Verifone acquired the former e-commerce company I was working with. But afterwards, I could see like Verifone everywhere where I was paying for my coffee, paying for dinner, paying at the gas station. I finally started noticing that I'm paying via Verifone.
It is literally everywhere. I see it everywhere too.
Yeah. Maybe some of you will start seeing it everywhere from today. So that's the company. Obviously, we do a lot of other stuff here as well, as normally technology and the industry evolved in the last 50 years. We evolved with it. I'm leading the e-commerce division, the sales in the EMEA region for Verifone. And it's quite an exciting and hot subject. At least since the pandemic started, but it has been growing for the last 15 years. So good to be here.
Yeah, of course. And so that's interesting. So one question I had on the non-cash transactions. So Verifone is the actual machinery on, like, when you go to a convenience store, a grocery store, and you pay using your debit card. Verifone is the little machine that you insert your card into, right?
Yep.
And okay. And then you're working on Verifone's e-commerce division, which is super interesting because you have a different purvey of this. Tell me about a little bit around the e-commerce division of Verifone, maybe some of the customers you work with, what challenges you're solving for them, and how are you helping them with Verifone's technology?
So obviously, you see the Verifone terminal, you touch your card, you swipe, you do whatever you do. But behind that, there are tons of other things because the data must be sent securely to a bank, to the card networks. It must be processed, it must return, and your money needs to go to the bank account of the merchant you are buying from. So there's a lot of things that we are taking care of in the background. And whereas in the physical world, you have the terminal as your interface, in the online world, you have the buy button, you know, the red, green, blue buy button.
Yeah, I click that thing too many times when I'm shopping on Amazon and stuff. I know I'm very familiar with the buy button.
We all are. So that's the interface, basically. In the background, things are very similar, but the interface is different. And the challenges are different as well. You ask what we do. Actually, what we do is help companies sell and expand their sales worldwide. And we do that by offering not just the payment processing service, because, of course, it's good to be able to accept payments from Australia, let's say, if you are a merchant for US or Europe. That's great if you can do that without having the money sent in an envelope to you.
Right.
But it's a whole nother thing when you actually start to really think about it, because if you're taking money from Australia, you would have to collect sales tax from the shopper in Australia. And then you would have to comply with some regulations, which you would if you would have an office there. But that's not mandatory nowadays. You can do business in countries without having a physical presence there. And that's what we facilitate, actually. We facilitate all of this compliance part. That's quite a big headache. Our tax advisor once told me, Octavian, doing the right stuff is not enough. The hard part is always proving that you did the right stuff, like in an audit. So even if you do the right stuff, proving it is a wholly different story. And it, for a lot of companies, even super large companies that would really be able to do this on their own, and they already have offices everywhere, they still prefer sometimes to use a service like ours, just because when the audit comes, they can point the finger and say, go ask them.
Yeah, that's what we pay them for. No, that sounds so increasingly important, especially for e-commerce brands. I mean, being global for an e-commerce brand is everything. So do you work with big companies and small companies? And I know me and you were talking offline around the different kind of business models that you help assist and aid with Verifone. And they come down to like a self-service and then an outbound model. Could you shed some light on that?
Yes, definitely. And this is not only a characteristic of the online sales model, but you always have various channels. You have the direct channel, you have indirect channels with resellers, affiliates, distributors, and you may have, which is also a direct channel, but it's the new direct 2.0 channel, which is self-service, right? Somebody just goes online. That can happen in the stores today as well, because you have self-service checkout in the stores, and it's the same online. You go, you pick stuff, and you pay, you leave, no human touch. And so these are the channels. And I think companies have been already aware of the necessity to have multiple channels. Depending on their business, they may use all of them. Also depending on the size of the business, like you mentioned. But I think what is the challenge nowadays is how do you create unique and a relevant customer experience across all of these channels, and you turn a multi-channel approach where, depending on where you touch the brand, the experience is totally different to an omni-channel approach, where basically the company can control the customer experience even if the sale happens through a reseller.
Yeah, it's so important. We want to make your product as widely available. That means in every market globally to all sorts of demographics. And so Verifone checks that box. And then you start to have these conversations about how does the prospect or customer want to experience the buying process? Like, what do they want to do? Do they want to try something for 30 days and they just need a self-service channel and they don't want to talk to anybody? They just want to do it on their own. Do they need a little assistance? What if they need a little bit of both? And so we were talking, and it's like, what if a large customer like eBay or something, like what if like one of these giant Fortune 1000 companies land up in the self-service flow? You probably want to know about it and have some eyes on it. So I guess, can you talk about like, how do you optimize as sales teams and customer success teams, like how do you optimize support and ensure a seamless experience for both types of these customers, but also make sure that we're addressing we need to keep an eye on the big whales or the really important clients that might convert into bigger deals.
And it kind of blends into the context we have today, where some budgets are decreasing and you're looking to be as efficient as possible. I think that's where the answer should start from, because we are talking about efficiency. We have channels which are pretty expensive, like having a salesperson reach out to someone, but it is a channel with very good conversion rate, because if that person is good, he might convince them to buy more than they wanted initially. And then you have very cost-efficient channels like self-service or maybe a reseller channel, which has a lower conversion rate. And if you're working the numbers and you have a lot of potential customers, you may not feel any regrets towards that. But sometimes, like you mentioned, a big fish might land in there and you might not have eyes on them. So the secret would be the way you segment these channels. And not only segment the channels, but don't build walls between these segments. Allow them to jump from one to another seamlessly. And to give you an example of what that means. When I get a new team member in the sales team, I need a new Salesforce license. And so we have a frame group contract with Salesforce. Everything is negotiated and we all know the pricing for the next 3 years, at least. But then when I need a new license, I need to ask them for an offer, because of course we are a large managed account for them. So I need to do this role play, which takes about 1 week, where I ask for an offer, even though I know how much I need to pay. They give me a price, and then I make a purchase order, and at the end of it, I finally get access for a new person. Whereas if they would be able to, while keeping me as a managed customer, if they would be able to give me the interface where I can click plus one and just add a license, add it to my billing cycle, that would be great for me. And that's the feeling that many other people get in the same situation.
Yeah, it removes so much of the friction. It's so much easier. We all are so used to having things now. And we can easily go on our phone and go to Amazon and buy anything really our heart desires. And we never have to talk to anybody, and we can compare and contrast and make the right decision. And it's a really insightful take from you to think about making it easier for brands to, I guess you would call it, what, like upselling, but it's really just, you know, if they need a new license, if they need it plus one, like you said. That's such a good point. And I think so many brands can take away from that, that, you know, I think that would really work in terms of increasing revenue from current customers is, well, you remove so much of the friction for them to use more of your products.
Yeah. So, and I will give you the opposite example as well.
Please.
So the opposite example is, there's this company which provides contact phone numbers for prospects, right? And I've heard good things about them. I want to test it. And so I just go on the website. I purchase the smallest subscription with my company credit card and just start immediately using it, right? And at the same time, I noticed actually after I opened the account, I noticed that I was getting some emails from someone in sales in that company trying to have a discussion with me and send it to me. But I didn't pay attention to the emails, and I found out about the solution from a recommendation. But that guy did not know that I'm using the solution already. And so I tested the solution for a couple of days, and in the end I stopped using it. But I never got any email about my experience other than the general marketing emails, which I did get. So they did have this self-service setup where they asked me, hey, why are you not using your account? We noticed you're being inactive. Can we do anything for that? But it was just a regular marketing message. When you don't notice that a large fish has landed in your net and you keep him on the self-service flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big miss. That's a really big miss. And I think it just gets into this, you know, this idea that I think the right answer is with the large fish, of course, you want a blend of high converting seller with the ability for someone like you to try the product out themselves, see if they like it. If they do, they're more likely to respond to a salesperson who reaches out and says, hey, there's some things that you didn't get in the free version or the version you purchased. Maybe I can show you that. Maybe I can figure out if we have some, you know, some products here or some features that you didn't think of that might really help you. So that's such a big miss. So Verifone's platform, their e-commerce platform, just to confirm, it would help these brands not only accept payments globally, but sort of blend the self-serve model with the more person touch and make sure that, for instance, a whale like yourself doesn't go slip into the completely automated marketing message stream.
Yes. Yes, not alone, but we facilitate that. And obviously there are many things that you need to figure out in this process of automating, because really in both cases, the situation was that the two channels, self-service and assisted sales, were separated. Mm-hmm. There was no communication, no alerts. So we can help with part of that. Part of it's also about how you organize your team, because we all know salespeople don't like to give out their accounts. They want to keep close to them. They want to do the renewal, even though there might not be any added value they can provide to that renewal. In some cases, there is. So it's also an internal policy thing, but the way we help merchants achieve this omnichannel experience is by providing them with both the self-service experience and the assisted experience, which they can, using the same platform, they can issue a custom offer, right? So that the customer does not just get the price on the website, but can negotiate, and they can have multiple iteration, as it usually happens. And at the end, they get a proposal. We also help them a lot with their resellers and distributors. And this is actually quite a trend nowadays, at least in EMEA. It used to be that large manufacturers only sold through resellers and local dealerships. However, nowadays, they want to take advantage of the fact that they have a website, right? I don't want to name a specific brand, but whatever, think of an electronics brand. They have a website and there are tons of people visiting that website. Why wouldn't they monetize those visitors and instead send them to a reseller where they get lower revenue because they have to pay a margin to the reseller?
Mm.
On the other hand, you don't want to piss off the reseller. So there are business models where you can still pay a commission to your reseller, but keep the experience on your side so that the customer is still in direct contact with you.
Yeah, and you have way more control over the customer journey because of that.
Exactly. So it is a lot about the customer journey, as much as you can integrate that into a single solution, or even if you have multiple solutions, to have a common approach and establish some triggers for communication between these channels.
Yeah, and I think it's something that we can all brands that are listening can get better at, definitely.
Yeah, and it's challenging. I mean, I don't want to sound like it's easy, because as I said, there's internal politics, there's, you know, debates with your resellers, how you can do that without affecting their business. But again, there are solutions. And especially nowadays, since you need to capitalize on everything you got, we know, for example, these large brands invest a lot of money in their marketing, in their website. And as nowadays, the customer acquisition cost is higher than ever, it would be very important for them to monetize that directly.
Yeah, and it gets into what we wanted to talk about, which is kind of like the macroeconomic environment. And the question we have is, how do you manage to accomplish more with fewer resources and strategically allocate them to achieve the best or maximum results? It sounds like it's all around optimizing the customer journey, but I'm curious, what's your perspective on this from where you sit? And maybe there's not as much juice as there was just a few years ago in the economy. So how can customer journeys, marketing, sales, all sort of adjust to do more with less?
Well, I have to say I'm a bit luckier than most of us, because e-commerce has been growing constantly. It didn't really see any crisis for the past 15, 20 years. I don't know. There's no prospect of such thing coming up. And it's still like in EMEA, 95% of the countries have less than 30% of the sales going through e-commerce. Everything still happens very much through the typical physical channel, but the trend is to grow and move things online. So I'm not expecting some economic downturn specifically for e-commerce. However, the challenges that I see constantly are around resources, especially development resources, because to have a good e-commerce experience, you need tools, you need software, you need solutions and technical people, developers specifically, which are hard to find nowadays. And also resources in general, because you need salespeople to have a good direct sales channel. You need good marketing people for demand generation. And the way you can do more with less of those resources is, first of all, as you mentioned, make sure that you maximize every dollar you invest in your website by having a great conversion rate, and in your channels. If you're investing in building a sales team, do not flood them with small prospects. Build a self-service channel, because otherwise they will spend their time talking with small merchants and they will not be profitable. They will like it because they will feel very successful, but it's a fallacy. On the other hand, make sure, because most companies are at extremes. They started with a self-service channel. They're very good at that. They don't have a good assisted sales team, or the complete opposite. So make sure that you handle all areas the best you can and optimize the cost. And the other part of optimizing is, if you can find solutions on the market that are able to automate as much as possible of the things that would normally require people. Like improve your self-service channel, improve your automation. And nowadays, I think there's really no limit to that. We can't really understand how much is possible nowadays with the artificial intelligence. It's just starting, but every week we find new things that can be done with AI and that would have taken the sales team research time, and it can really help, and it's free for now.
For now, yes. Well, so it's, are you experiencing, I know we're kind of going off topic here, are you experimenting with any AI in your sales team or in your team at all?
Yes, we are. And we are doing that officially because I've had some funny conversations with my peers in other companies, and they said they did the use of AI. And I was like, okay, well, how do you know that your employees are not using it without your knowledge? And that's like prohibiting YouTube at work. I mean, I can still watch on my mobile if I don't want to work today. There's no point in this. And people are actually using it. People are actually using it, no matter what the policy is, because it can help. It can help you write emails. It can help you find out what technology is behind the website. This is just the example for last week. We used to go into the code of the website to see what solution they have, what competitor they are using. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, we just go to Bard and say, tell me the solution used on this website. And bam, got it.
Wow. No way. That's...
And it's sometimes like 30-minute work because you needed to make an account on that website first in order to purchase. You needed to validate this and that. So it took a lot of time to find out the competitor, and it was an important information for us to find out who's the competitor. Mm-hmm. And now we just get it, like searching on Google, and you find it. Yeah.
Wow. That is interesting. That's a little Easter egg that's hidden in this podcast for folks to go and find. I think there's a lot of sales reps out there who are going to listen to this and go and try it out for themselves. Because I'm sure it's valuable information for all sellers to know if a brand is using their competition. And now you could just ask Bard instead of paying for that information. That's incredible. Octavian, last question around your role and your experience. As a business leader, can you walk us through some of the challenges of managing a P&L? Like, what insights or advice would you give for our listeners who may be in a first-time situation managing a P&L, maybe their first time managing a sales team? What sort of advice would you give?
Well, managing a sales team is one thing. Managing a P&L is a bit different. I think managing a sales team is a lot like selling, in the sense that, first of all, you need to be able to win the trust of your people. You need to be able to show expertise and be a leader, which is exactly what you need to do as a salesperson in B2B sales. To be a thought leader and to establish trust, respect. Managing a P&L, I think you need to be very aware of the risks and opportunities and put them on paper and track them every week. And that means, like, what could go wrong? Which is actually a great question to ask in the sales process as well. And many salespeople fear extremely to ask that question, to ask the prospect, hey, it's good that we are progressing. Could you tell me, what do you think are the potential obstacles we'll encounter towards signing this deal? That's a question that most salespeople would not ask, but I've never had any negative experience with it. On the contrary. And that's what you need to do as a sales manager and PLN owner, to manage your risks and because you need to provide a forecast. You need to be predictable, and that's how you can do it, by all the time monitoring your risks, mentioning and assigning a percentage. If it's there, it must have a percentage, and some things are quite hard to predict, like economic trends, but for the most part, you can do it.
Yeah. I love that. I love what you said there, building trust and for managing a sales team. And it's that question that you brought up, that's a really good one that I think a lot of sellers need to not be afraid of, for sure, who are listening. So Octavian, it's been wonderful hearing your expertise and listening to some of the wisdom that you've given us today. A couple of just fun questions here just to wrap it up. Any good reads? Is there a book, a blog, a newsletter, a website, any AI tools you would recommend to anybody check out?
Yeah, I'm not that advanced with AI tools, honestly. I've just used ChatGPT and Bard. I definitely think Bard has the upper edge right now, but things can change. In terms of books, what I really, really enjoyed reading and listening, I'm usually listening to audiobooks on my commute. I really enjoyed that. That's a really very, very fun, but also insightful book. It's called Never Split the Difference. It's about negotiation, and it's from a former CIA hostage negotiator called Chris Voss.
I can personally recommend that book. That is a wonderful book, especially for anybody who is customer facing to read. Whether you're a seller or you're a marketer or you're a customer success person or you're just a teacher who has to negotiate with her students to get them to do their homework and study and things like that. I think it's a great, wonderful recommendation.
It really applies everywhere. I would also recommend the Advice Trap book by Michael Stamier. It's a great book that has taught me what I actually realized by that giving people advice when they ask for it, it's not a good thing. And it applies, it's not useful. And it applies to sales as well. It's much better to ask the right questions and have the prospect figure out the solution on their own than give advice.
It sounds like sales is a lot like raising children in that sense.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of similarities, believe me.
And how can people get in touch with you if they want to ask you questions or any follow-ups if they listen to your podcast?
Well, they can find me on LinkedIn. I'm not super active, but I do post from time to time what I think is insightful. And you can drop me an email as well. Yeah. Well, I'm super happy to contribute. I'm really, really grateful for doing this podcast because there is so much to learn for all of us. Things are evolving so fast, and that's great. That's what I love about this role.
Yes, absolutely. I 100% agree, sir. And I've enjoyed getting to know you in our different conversations and just hearing your expertise on the e-commerce, on customer journey optimization, and just sort of about life too. I think we've talked enough to where we know each other pretty well. Octavian Brezoe, sales leader for Verifone's EMEA e-commerce division. If you ever have any questions around how your brands can do more with less, optimize sales funnels and marketing channels, please, please, please feel free to hit up Octavian and his team. And that's all I've got. Octavian, any closing thoughts or remarks?
Not at all. Visit tocheckout.com. There's a lot of... So tocheckout is the e-commerce brand, and we have tons of white papers, documentation, about payment trends, payment acceptance in various countries. It's really, really insightful. And I sometimes write there as well. So it's a good place to follow us.
Yeah. And there's a wealth of information and just diagrams and infographics and white papers on to check out. Octavian, it was wonderful meeting you, sir. Let's do this again. Maybe a follow-up in a few quarters, see how everything's turning out with the e-commerce industry, especially in EMEA and globally.
I'd love to.
All right, sir.
Cheers, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Today's episode is made possible by Demandbase. Demandbase is smarter GTM for B2B brands to help marketing and sales teams spot the juiciest opportunities earlier and progress them faster. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Sunnyside Up. If you liked what you heard, please rate and review us and subscribe to our show on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube and Demandbase TV.